And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody will be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down.
Well, greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live right here on WWCR around the world on 5070. It's a transmitting Jewel of the South. Glad to have you aboard for the Shepherd's Call radio ministry. My, we got a great program, part two of the 144,000. We're going to talk about that in detail. We're going to prove to you that the bride and the bridegroom have already been taken off the earth. Now, most Christian believer, did you know there's more deception in Christianity that you can actually get your soul deceived in Christianity going to a church that doesn't have the truth, that professes or has a part of the truth and doesn't have the whole truth? There is so much deception in the Christian church, ladies and gentlemen, that it is pathetic today to have the understanding and the will of Christianity as they profess that they know him, but in works they deny. Now we're going to get into detail in Joel chapter 2:16. Now, let's set the stage by giving you some fundamental foundational concepts or build a gestalt to your understanding to have everything framed and closely fitted together. A good carpenter does not accept anything that's out of plumb or out of square. So we're going to square the foundation of the thoughts of the bridegroom. Now, did the question that you must ask yourself, and does the Bible confirm that the bridegroom came? Well, if we go to the book of St. John, chapter 3, we're going to start again at verse 29. Ladies and gentlemen, the bridegroom stood upon the planet in a place called Israel, came to his own, and his own received him not. But did you know that there was a gathering of those who were there to become his bride? I'm going to show you that the scripture will confirm him. He that has the bride is the bridegroom. Now, where is the bride? Well, Christianity says he's coming back to get the bride. Well, if that's true, he's not got a bride yet, then he's got no children. And if he's got no children, you're not going back to the kingdom, because you've got to be born with a father and wife relationship. Zion must travail in your being until Christ be formed into you spiritually, not carnal. To be carnal-minded is death. And those that wrestle with the flesh man, their understanding is void. They have no understanding whatsoever, as they teach out of the bell box mentality that he's coming back to get his bride. I'm sure you've heard that. But here it says the bridegroom comes, and those standing there, who was John the Immerser, that he heard his voice. Well, I wonder if this man, John, had ever heard his voice before. Well, we find in the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew that John was the real incarnation of the spirit of Elijah. And if those that will have it, now you can't be fleshly minded and get this, ladies and gentlemen, it'll slip right over your head, but the Messiah said himself, to those that will have it. Now the Bible said, blessed are your eyes for they see, blessed are your ears for they hear, for these have eyes to see and can't see, ears to hear and can't hear. They some people that is so carnally conceived in their carnal mind, which is not acceptable to God and neither indeed can be, that they'll never get this message of truth. That's why that spirit people grow out from under the flesh people and cannot sit under a flesh-minded person. This person has to be spiritually activated in spiritual things. His concepts, his thinking must be directly from the spirit world, because flesh and blood will not reveal it unto him. Here it is in the 29th verse of John chapter 3. You yourselves know that I'm not the Messiah or the anointed one, but I am sent before him, and I rejoice to hear, I rejoice greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Now, let's go to some of the prophets and see what some of the prophets said about the bride and the bridegroom. Joel chapter 2, 16. Gather the people. Oh, well, that's why that the Messiah come to gather together the elect in one. Gather the people and sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Oh, boy, did they ever assemble. Gather the children and the nursing infants. Do you see that right there? The infants. Gather the children and the nursing infants. Let the bridegroom come out of his room or out of his chamber, and the bride out of her bridal chamber. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we know that the resurrection, the first resurrection, now there has been one resurrection already. Now, if that bridegroom came and died and was buried and didn't get a bride out of the first resurrection, then he can't get children until he gets his bride in the second resurrection. Was that what the Bible would actually say by the Christian concepts of misunderstanding? No. They've been deceived because it seems right that he's coming back to get his bride. He's coming back to get the children of the bride. Where's the bride at? Well, we're going to show you that the bride is in heaven with him. He's in heaven. And he's no figment of the imagination either. He's a real being. He's got a flesh and blood body that walked here for 33 years. Then they drained the blood and the water out of it. And yet he lived and rose again. And now he's in that same body, glorified, with those that rose with him in the first resurrection. Matthew chapter 27, verses 51 through 55. Now, I discussed that, his first resurrection, in part one, last Sunday night, when we were with you from the great state of North Carolina in Murphy, where we had a fabulous, wonderful, glorious, harmonious Passover that we kept, where 10 souls were saved and baptized in the magnanimous, magnificent, glorious, powerful, almighty name of Yahweh. What a time we had in Murphy, North Carolina. I'm still feasting. My spirit is still feasting. Now, we begin that message there in the assembly in Murphy, North Carolina, last Sunday night. Now, we didn't have taping facilities available there where we were at in the remote. We were right there at the altar, ladies and gentlemen, preaching the message to the Whirl from Murphy, North Carolina, where over 70 people gathered to have fellowship, and out of that 70, they were 10 that repented of their sins and was born of the water and the Spirit, which is a promise of Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38. Now, what happened on the day of Pentecost of Acts chapter 2? The Holy Ghost descended on the day of Pentecost. Now, that's when he ascended into heaven. Remember, he took his bride with him. Then when they went into the love chamber, gather the people, sanctify the congregations, assemble the elders, gather the children and the nursing infants, and let the bridegroom come out of his room. Well, ladies and gentlemen, he just appeared as the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and she conceived the bridegroom. So Yahweh grew him a bridegroom body. Now, if he didn't get a bride out of the first resurrection, he got stood up, and he ain't got no children yet. So you couldn't say that you're a child of Yahweh, because Yahweh, if he's not married to his bride, and he's not making love to her and getting children, then he ain't coming back for the children in the second resurrection. He's coming back to get a bride, and then there'll be no children because there's no more resurrection. After the second resurrection, it's the final resurrection. Now, let me show you that. This is in Matthew chapter 9, verse 15. And the Messiah, Yahweh Shua in the flesh body, said unto them, the attendants, or the children of the bridegroom, cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away now, and they will mourn, and they will fast, and they will seek me. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's what the children are doing. He got children on the day of Pentecost. He didn't get a bride on the day of Pentecost. He got children. The bride went out with him in the first resurrection. Why can't people see this? And these ignorant, dumb, denominational systems running around thinking that they're going to be one of the 144,000 that's going to be picked when he comes back to reign 1,000 years. All this is false doctrine. All of it. Ignorance is no excuse of serving Yahweh. You cannot serve him ignorantly. You're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. But knowledge comes through prophets that have exercised their faith unto godliness, have pushed back their plates away from the table, laid days and nights, fasting and praying and seeking the divine covenant will of the Father, that they may feed the sheep, not with a natural food or a fleshly, carnal understanding, giving them an appetite of the bell box mentality, but giving them a spiritual food. The children of the bridegroom. Ladies and gentlemen, here at that time was the potential children. The house of Israel had to repent. On the day of Pentecost, Peter, James, and John had not received the Holy Ghost at the time of Matthew 9:15, because the Holy Ghost had not yet been given. And so then they, the apostles, 120 of them to be exact, with the apostolic brethren, Peter, James, and John, and the other apostles, 12 of them, were gathered on the day of Pentecost, and they were all filled with the spirit of the bridegroom and the bride, and they became children of the kingdom. Now, Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable or likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here, those that had no oil are those that missed the day of Pentecost, because the bridegroom came, got his bride, the little infants, the 144,000, the 12,000 that is listed in the book of Revelations, chapter 6. Now, we're going to show you how many were sealed in that new covenant, and now we find them in the book of Revelations, chapter 6, or chapter 7, we're going to find exactly what the 144,000 is all about. Now, in chapter 5, notice what it says here. Those that were dead. Remember, I read you the book of Isaiah, where he says, together with my dead body. This is Isaiah 26:19. Together with my dead body. Well, here it says in Joel, together and sanctify the congregation and gather the children and the nursing infants. These little male children, 2 years old and down, were beheaded for the first witness or the first blood to be shed for this little baby that was born to become the king of the universe. Not the king of the world. Satan is a god of this world. God doesn't love the world any more than you should love it. He told you not to love the world. And if you love it, the love of Yahweh's not in you. So Yahweh doesn't love the world, irregardless of what you've been told by the bell box and the whore church. Ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh has got a family. They have to be born into the kingdom. Everything that offends will be cast out of the kingdom, and everything that won't let him rule over them will be slayed before him, and they will depart from him. Oh, but Pastor Buddy, God loves everybody. Glory to God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there is instances in the Bible, reference after reference after reference, and I could stay on here for 2 weeks giving references where God Almighty killed the disobedient, those that were not his children, those that came against his children, those of his children that disobeyed him will be beaten with many stripes. One of the elders said unto me, what have we got here? And they sung, this is 5 and verse 9 of Revelation, they sung a new song. The Bible says in the 26th chapter of the book of Isaiah, verse 19, 26:19, together with my dead body shall they arise out of the dust, and they will awake and sing. Right here, these were sealed, and they sung a new song. They were worthy to take the book and to open the seals, for they were slain and had been redeemed of the blood of every tribe out of the kingdom of Israel. And thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, here we are in the 6th chapter and the 9th verse. And when he had opened this 5th seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for their testimony. What was their testimony? They were male children. They belonged to the house of Israel and the 12 tribes. And Herod killed them to try to kill the king. How long dost thou not judge and avenge our blood? Every one of them had a bloody experience. All the 144,000 were slain. When Christ was just a baby, these 144,000 died and went into the earth. Gather, it says. Gather together and sanctify, assemble the children and the nursing infants. Let the bridegroom come. Well, he did. And when the bridegroom came, the devil trying to kill the bridegroom so that he could marry his wife, Israel, take her back to heaven and make love to her in the love chamber and get sons and daughters on the day of Pentecost. But Satan could not prevent it. No power can hold the bridegroom. Out of the chamber he sprung. And John said, I rejoice to hear his voice. And white robes were given unto them. White is the righteousness of the saints, meaning that the bride wears white. That they should rest a little season, that their fellow servants should be killed and persecuted and spoke evil of by the so-calls. These are the people in the bell box that have been dumbed down to worship a false name that Satan has given them. Notice here in chapter 7, the 144,000 of those that ascended up And I heard the number of them that were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the bride type. He took the bride back to his love chamber. And when Zion travailed, when Yahweh, the bridegroom, and the bride, Israel, he remarried her. Oh, hallelujah. Of the tribe of Judah, of the tribe of Asher, of the tribe of Naphtali, of the tribe of Manasseh, of the tribe of Simeon, of the tribe of Levite, and the tribe of Dan, of the tribe of Issachar, the tribe of Zebulun, the tribe of Joseph, and the tribe of Benjamin. Ladies and gentlemen, the 13 tribes representing the 13-acre edifice of the altar of the book of Isaiah, chapter 19. There shall be an altar and a monument to Yahweh. It is a 13-acre, 2.5 million blocks of stone laid out in mathematical fashion, where those that have an understanding will know that the capstone is yet to be set. In other words, the final kingdom. When he comes back, ladies and gentlemen, he's not coming back to ride a mule to be mistreated. He's coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that knoweth not Yahweh. Now, while the bridegroom was delayed, they all fell asleep. Did you know in the book of Romans, chapter 11, verses 25 and verse 26, this is prophetic. This parable is right on, that the house of Israel would tarry and fall into a sleep. Blindness, in part, represented by sleep, as happened unto Israel, until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. What's the Gentiles? That's the evil kingdoms of the earth that will rule and punish Israel and make them the tail and not the head, simply because they knew not the time of their visitation. Therefore, Isaiah prophesied that there should only be a remnant, and that Yahweh should use the Gentiles, who are not Israelites, by the way, as it's recorded in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, or chapter 10, verses 6 and 7. There it says that go not to the Gentiles, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's the 12 tribes that were scattered abroad. Ladies and gentlemen, the bridegroom delayed his coming, and Israel began to tarry and begin to fall into a deep spiritual sleep. But in the last days, Yahweh shall send the far brands, ministers with a flaming sword, and they shall awaken Israel from their slumbering sleep, not with a seam right way, not with a bell box, not with something that is artificial or seeming right, but the truth that has been proven over and over and over. Oh, Pastor Buddy, now we know that Jesus was a Jew. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got a reward of $5,000 for anybody that can prove that the Messiah, it wasn't Jesus, no way. That's a misnomer. That's a false name that the devil has brought in and invented to give you a mark. Not a mark of righteousness, not a mark of salvation, but a mark of deception, to deceive the very elect. And many of the house of Israel are asleep in these bell boxes and needs to have the revelation of the shepherd's call. And an old grizzled, gray-headed prophet like Pastor Buddy to come along and declare the rest of the council. How can you hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except to be sent? If he comes to preaching, he will preach in the glorious, magnanimous, magnificent, all-powerful, almighty name of Yahweh. This is the name that was set in all of the builders. And this is the same stone that will be set in the final kingdom, the capstone that was left off of that great altar monument, a 13-acre edifice of 2.5 million stones. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know that around 1450 B.C., that around 2.5 million Israelites left the land of darkness and through their unbelief wandered for 40 years, which is a form of punishment, because they failed to believe the report and to enter in the promised land. And so we are, categorically speaking, still wandering in the wilderness of darkness looking for the light. But the Bible said, see and ask for the old path. And when you find it, walk in. Now notice this one. John chapter 2 verse 9. When the head waiter tasted the water which had become wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew that the Messiah had turned the water to wine. The head waiter called the bridegroom. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll call on the bridegroom when you find out that he's the head of all things, and by him all things consist. He's the head of the body, which is the church, his bride in heaven, now travailing with him in the love chamber, getting sons and daughter that will hear the gospel, repent, and be baptized in that wonderful, magnanimous name of Yahweh. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, why is it that there's only a few of you all, and there's many in these churches? Well, isn't that simple deduction? Straight as away, narrow is the gate, and a few, F-E-W, few, there be that find it. Yahweh said, I didn't choose you because you were the most people. I choose you because you are the fewest people upon the earth. My people, which are called by my name, Deuteronomy 28:10, they shall see that you're called by the name of Yahweh and be afraid of you. Oh, they won't let me in the bell box. I'm a troublemaker. You see, if you ask questions or preach the gospel and set the record straight, then they don't want you there. If you'll preach and teach a tradition of the foundation of the church, and every church has got a dogma. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a way that seemeth right. It's in the bell boxes. They've got some truth, some more than others, some less than some. But none of them have the whole truth. Why? Because Yahweh does not have any of his righteousness to be addressed by false prophets. His prophets are prophets of revelation, prophets of the true divine covenant. Hear, O Israel, Mark 12:29, the Gospel of St. Mark. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we get the rest of the story. Hear, O Israel, not hear, O world. Don't hear over in Africa. Hear, O Israel, wherever the sheep congregate, wherever they've been scattered in the earth. Go only to the lost sheep, Matthew chapter 15. Ladies and gentlemen, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You'll find them congregated, deceived, blind. That's why they need a physician. They're sick, spiritually sick. And they need someone to come. You are my witnesses, as it says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 44, verse 6. Isaiah 44:6, you are my witnesses, saith Yahweh, and my Redeemer, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me. Before me there was no God formed. Oh, the Catholic Church formed a Trinity God. Mark 12:29 says Israel has one. They got three. That's too many. Ladies and gentlemen, you say, oh, well, Pastor Buddy, don't you believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost? Yes, I do. God and the Holy Ghost is the same one. And the Son was the Spirit made manifest in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word. John, St. John's Gospel 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Verse 14, the Word was made flesh. Who was that walked in a flesh body among us? That was Yahweh. Oh, I forgot to tell you. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. Verse 10, and the world knew him not. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll receive him in his name, Not a false name, not a substitute name, but a name that is above every name. That's the name that every knee shall bow. That's the name to whom the porter will open. Ladies and gentlemen, let me read you in chapter 21, verse 9. We're down at the bottom of the hour. I'm going to pray you a favorite song of mine by the Shady Creek Quartet. This is featuring Brother Ron on the vocal, along with Brother Odell and Brother Allen and Brother Ed that are assisting him on this beautiful song, The Beautiful Altar of Prayer, Where Mother Prayed. Well, we recognize today being Mother's Day. And ladies and gentlemen, I recognize that your mother, the spiritual New Jerusalem, is from above. She's in heaven with him that walked here for 33 years. He gathered together his bride, his elect, took them out in the first resurrection, coming back after the children in the second. Isn't that wonderful? Well, let me read the scripture here. And one of the seven angels, this is Revelation 21, verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, you think we might be in that day, came and spoke to me saying, come up here. Not down here upon the earth where the bell box is teaching that the bride is. Come up here. Come up here. I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Brothers and sisters, if he didn't get a wife, a bride, in the first resurrection, or if he didn't come to earth as a bridegroom to get one, he got stood up at the altar, and you're yet in your sins. Because it takes the father and his wife to get children. Well, I happen to be a son of Yahweh. I've got a mother. That's New Jerusalem, the bride type of the 144,000. I'm coming back after this beautiful song by the Shady Creek Quartet. These boys, along with Brother Joshua, I'd like to dedicate this to Joshua and Brother Ronnie Chastain and Brother Alan Chastain and Brother Odell and his beautiful wife Virginia and all the other brothers' wives. That would be all of those who are there at the festival. That would be Sister Jody, Margaret, and Miss Ashana. Oh, my. How wonderful these mothers were. Yahweh bless this beautiful song as we sing and listen to the Shady Creek Quartet right out of Bryson City and Murphy, North Carolina.
prove.
Well, that was Brother Ron and the Shady Creek Quartet. They were live on stage with the addition of a good southern guitar picker. Pick my guitar, and I love to hear him and Brother Allen pick my guitar over there, and it was a brand new one, and they broke it in real good for me. And these brethren perform live. Brother Odell and the Shady Creek Quartet, they performed live on stage at the Passover, and we dedicate that to all the mothers and all the families that have mothers that have departed like mine. And we remember them today. Praise Yahweh. So I thought that was a very appropriate song, Brother Ron and the Shady Creek Quartet did, The Beautiful Altar of Prayer, written by my friend right here in the town that I live in. It led the charge for the most weeks of any religious song, and it stayed on the charts and is still being played. It's one of the favorites, The Beautiful Altar of Prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, how long do you think the reign of the bride will be with the bridegroom? How long does the Bible say that the bride will reign with the bridegroom before Satan is loosed out of his prison? Well, it says that it gives us a time limit here. Now, notice this. In chapter 14, and lo, I looked, and a lamb stood upon Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, with the Father's name in their foreheads. Now, isn't that a bride type? Ladies and gentlemen, would you take a bride that wouldn't wear your name? Well, I don't think I would. If your bride wouldn't wear your name, she's not part of you. Well, here, the 144,000... they're not down here. They're on Mount Zion, the New Jerusalem, where it is quoted in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, verses 51 through 55, that many came out of their graves after his resurrection. Isn't that a proper type of the bride to follow him down the aisle of death and then out of death into life eternal? Here they are on Mount Zion, the New Jerusalem. Now notice this. Verse 3, and they sung as it were a new song. Isaiah 26:19 again, ladies and gentlemen. Awake and sing, thou that dwellest in the dust. Together, my bride, with my dead body, they shall arise. Right there it is. These are they which were not defiled with women. They were all males. For they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb wheresoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits. Right there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Can you see that? That he got them in the first fruit resurrection? The 144,000 having the Father's name, which is the type of the bride, to wear the name of the Father. Redeemed, beheaded, all males, redeemed from the earth. And Satan is the very one that gathered them together and put them in a grave to be kept until Yahweh Shua was killed. Approximately 32 years later, he died himself and was killed and went into the lower parts of the earth, preached to the souls that were disobedient in the days of Noah, and then resurrected his bride, the 144,000, and said, I will come again to receive you unto myself, the where I am there. You may be also, ladies and gentlemen. He's going to reign with his bride for 1,000 years. Now, let's see if that's true as we go to the 20th chapter of the book of Revelations. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, the devil, and bound him 1,000 years. Right there he is, ladies and gentlemen, and cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. In other words, you can be deceived if you are willingly ignorant. But there is salvation and revelation for the sheep, the sons of Israel. till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that Satan is going to come back to this planet, and he's going to set in a temple that a certain group of people, including the false prophets of Christianity, now not all the prophets of Christianity are false, but the majority of them are. We got good, sincere Christians in the Christian church. But they need to come out of her. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, for her sins have reached up to heaven. And when it gets to the point where Yahweh shall raise his hand and swear that there shall be time no longer, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, judgment was given unto them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of the Messiah, Yahweh Shua in a flesh body. Right there it is. Verse 4 of Revelation 21, or chapter 20, as we're going to read in their closing statement in chapter 21. Verse 4. Revelation chapter 1, and I saw thrones, and judgment was given unto them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yahweh Shua, and for the word which they had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Yahweh Shua, the Anointed One, for 1,000 years. Now, remember this. Here's your key to numbers. Yahweh doesn't number years like you do. One day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years could be one day. So don't get into this, well, my heavens, he's been gone over 1,000 years and he ain't back yet. Well, that could be one day. 2 days could be 2,000 years. But he's going to be loosed. Satan is going to be loosed in a little while, and then he's going to come up on the earth, and here's what the governments are setting you up for, ladies and gentlemen. They already know that these beings exist. They've already been in contact. The government knows this. And they know that their time is nigh. Did you know the Bible says that the devil himself knows that when he comes back, he's got a short time? The Bible said he must reign a little season. He's going to be loosed, and he's going to reign be loose for a little season. Verse 3. Verse 4 was those that were beheaded for the word. That's the bride. Now he's going to come back in the second resurrection. When Yahweh Shua comes back, Satan and his angels are going to be right here, ruling the earth with a rod of iron. They're going to make war with the saints and them that love Yahweh and keep his commandments. Get ready, ladies and gentlemen. Coming soon to a neighborhood near you. Now, if you agree with him, if you go over there to Jerusalem and say that that's Jesus Christ sitting in a temple where they're going to introduce him to the world, if you refuse to go, you're going to be put in prison. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be delivered into the court systems, and you're going to be charged with a crime. Failing to worship the devil. Only he's going to be showing himself that he's God. Now, we're going to prove that. I don't have time. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have time. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. That's the 144,000. On such the second death hath no power. Remember, they're alive forevermore with him on Mount Zion. But that they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, verse 7, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and will go out to deceive many. Now, let me show you something, ladies and gentlemen. In relationship to the prophecies of the time. Did you know that the Bible says that Satan is going to come back in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? Follow me, and I've got just a few minutes. I must hurry. Let no man deceive you. Verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let no man deceive you by any means. Well, ladies and gentlemen, they've got the false prophets on the radio and on the television telling you that Jesus is going to come back and they're going to build him a temple over there in Jerusalem, and Jesus is going to sit in that temple. Now notice this. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Not the son of God, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped of God. Now, let me give you three chapters of study on that to show you this is Satan. In the book of Isaiah chapter 14, read the whole chapter. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 28, read the whole chapter. And in the book of Ezekiel chapter 31, read it. You'll see that Satan wanted to exalt his throne. This is his final chance. And he's going to deceive the very elect. He's got his prophets, the false prophets. And all these prophets are dressed good. Oh, they can sing good. They've got beautiful churches. They got money galore. They prosper. And the Bible says they will cast the truth to the ground and practice and prosper. Don't be weary and well-doing, saints. If you're poor and you're wrestling, you got a hard time, and the devil's giving you a hard time, persecuting you for the name, don't worry about it. You hang in there. Be faithful unto death, he'll give you a crown of life. You shall be hated of all nations. Matthew 10:22, for my name's sake. Listen here now. Verse 4 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So that he as God. Now listen to this. You see they're getting ready to build him a temple over there, aren't they? Aren't they getting ready to have a war over there and get it done? Well, of course. You think it's coming? Of course it's coming. World War III. Right around the corner. Watch it. The crafty ones, those that claim to be Jews and are not, are the ones behind it. The whore church is assisting it because they're evil. And the governments and the kings of the earth are going to go along with it because it seems right. The Bible says that Satan will influence all the leaders and the kings and the captains and the mighty men will gather their armies together for the final battle of Armageddon. And then, ladies and gentlemen, Satan will have a clear place to sit. He's going to sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, remember that when I was with you, I told you these things. And now I've withheld nothing from you that he might be revealed in his time. Now, his time is here, almost here. For the mystery of iniquity is already a-working. Only he who now letteth will until he be taken out of the way. Now, verse 8. And then shall that wicked one be revealed. All the earth's going to be deceived by him. All of them will be deceived, whose names are not written in the Lamb's book, whom Yahweh shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose working or his coming is after the working of Satan. With all power, all power, all power, signs and lying wonders. And with all deceivableness of unrighteous in them that perish because they will not receive the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there you have my message tonight. Part 2 of the 144,000. If you'd like to have a DVD of Pastor Buddy teaching on the 144,000, just write me. Post Office Box 2284. Just address your cards or letters to Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. You can call me tonight. I'm live right here on WWCR around the world with the transmitting Jewel of the South on May the 13th. So you can call me, area code 423-626-2172. Now it's area code 423-626-2172. And ladies and gentlemen, we know that we've passed from death unto life because we have a great love. Once you're baptized into this name, it's a name above every name, you will change. You will begin to grow. Your spiritual strength will be like that of little David or a Samson. And you shall slay the giants of Goliath in your path. You will remove them from your spiritual territory. And nothing unclean will walk on your path. They shall see. Deuteronomy 28:19. They shall see. Once you get into this name, that you've changed, and they'll be afraid of you. Oh, why? Well, we're not dangerous. We're not threatening. We're not harmful. We're very peaceful, kind, generous, long-suffering, tender-hearted. But we got the truth. The truth will break a bone. The Bible said a soft answer breaks a bone. Well, if you've got the truth, it'll break a bone. It'll break the bony or the stony heart that you've got. And it'll give you a heart of understanding that you may know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Oh my, how good it is to be free from the shackles of ignorance. My people, Hosea, the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for what? The lack of knowledge. Therefore, since you reject knowledge, he said, I will reject you. Now, isn't that strange? Since you reject knowledge, I will reject you. Well, if faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, and how can you hear without a preacher, and how can he preach except he be sent? You see, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to preach part three of this next Sunday night, Yahweh willing. And I'm going to show you that the birthright is hooked into the ruler and the reigning of the bride and the bridegroom. The birthright. And to whom it belonged to, and to whom it was given, how it was stolen, and how it was removed through deception. Because my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Now, why don't we have the truth? Because two can't walk together except they be agreed. Why can't we agree with Christianity? Oh, yes, they preach a resurrected Savior, but they got his name wrong. And they will not correct that name, just like the Jehovah Witnesses. They'll tell you that the name Jehovah is erroneous. Your own Bible will tell you that. But they say, oh, since it's got so popular, we'd have too much trouble going back and tearing down our foundation and building on the true name. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what kind of a... And they want to be a part of the 144,000. They won't even take the Father's name in the forehead. They got a generic name. They run around here with silly women, door to door. And the Bible says, do not go from door to door, knocking on doors and selling magazines. Isn't that something? Well, what about the rest of the church world, Pastor Buddy? Just as bad. They've got a false name, too. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Ladies and gentlemen, if you can't agree with the word, you can't walk with the word. The Bible said, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, Hosea 4 and 6. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that thou shalt be no priest unto me, seeing that you have forgotten the law of the God of Israel, I will also forget your children. Ladies and gentlemen, don't let Yahweh forget you as children. Let the bride and the bridegroom say, come. And when you come, repent of your sin, be baptized in that magnanimous name above every name. There's not a name above it. Oh, they try to say he's got many names. That's a lie. The devil will tell you that. Just so that he can deceive you, because he does not want you to give glory to that one true name that all the world hates. Well, it's an honor for me to preach the name. Well, Pastor Buddy, are you hated for it? Of course. Well, how do you stand up with all the persecution? Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. I've got something in me greater than that which they've got in the world. I know in whom I believed. And Peter, James, and John, and the apostolic fathers preached this magnanimous name. In the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, they were hated for it. In the fifth chapter, they were beat for it. Paul was beaten many times for preaching this name. You'll be hated and despised for this name. Don't worry about it. Count it all honor. Count it all joy when you're persecuted or reproached for the name of Yahweh. Peter says that if you're reproached for the name of Yahweh, how great it is. What an honor to be hated and despised for this name. Now, if you preach a false name, you can join every church in the country with a false name. But you get this name and go in and tell them who you are. I can put my old worn out King James Bible under my arm and walk into these churches, and I'm telling you, the pastors, they'll have a conference up there. Don't let him up. Don't let him up. Don't let him up. That's the troublemaker. Watch him. Watch him. Watch him. He'll steal your flock. He'll divide the church. He'll tear us down. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know if you're built on a rock, you don't have to worry about somebody taking the word and tearing it down? If they take the word, it'll build it up if it's on a rock. Now, if it's on a sandy foundation, it's going to fall anyway. And that's what the prophets of Yahweh are, to bring down every imaginable thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Yahweh. Until next Sunday. I got to get out of here, ladies and gentlemen, because the time of my reckoning is here. So I've got to be moving on down the road. Praise Yahweh. Well, let me give you a song that we could take you to. And this song I love also. Let's play this song as we go out by the Shady Creek Quartet.
Blue.